TV.
On the radio.
Roll it there, cadet.
Hey, how you doing?
Bazinga.
Well, I didn't expect a kind of Spanish Inquisition.
One for everybody in the audience.
It's going to be legendary.
You just crossed over into the Twilight Zone.
There you go.
Is everything okay, Mr. English?
Yes, I seem to have just misplaced my notes.
Ah, nightmare. Do you want me to pop out, maybe? You know, do a few funnies, kind of get the crowd going, save the day?
Dominic's new, he's nervy. You know, whatever I can do to kind of help him out, like, do you need a favour? No problem, I'm on the way. That's the kind of guy I am. But the principal thing is more of a kind of a figurehead role, really, isn't it? It's a bit like the Queen. And I suppose me then, I'd be more kind of Lady Diana.
That's a clip from The School that's debuting on RTE. Is it just on the RTE player? John Fardy's with us once again. John,
hello.
Sorry, yes.
Yes, please introduce me.
In there, yes. Is it just on the RTE player, this, or was
no.
it on RTE, RTE?
I'm glad you're wearing this up. It's on both, but the reason why you probably thought that was this is the first time RTE have presented a new show, firstly and primarily on the player. So you can watch all three episodes. It's a short series. You could watch that from last week, I think it was. But it's on terrestrial TV tonight.
Right, okay.
So it is a significant move, one would say. You know, the fact that this is the first time RTE have done that, it says something. I'm not sure what exactly, but it says something, you know.
Well, I mean, Channel 4 have done similar things. Yeah. They put things exclusively on E4, yeah. So it's the way of the future
but
and all
you
that.
Wonder why it isn't exclusively just on the player. They are also showing it on terrestrial TV. So maybe they're dipping their toe in this kind of water.
Well, I suppose, though, at the same time, it's an interesting comparison for them.
Yeah.
And is this debuting on RTE2?
Yeah, tonight.
Right, so that's a very interesting comparison. Will more people watch it online than watch it on RTE2? And if more people watch it online, why is there an RTE2?
The end is nigh.
Yeah.
I'll tell you one thing, though, right? I don't watch that much stuff on a player for whatever reasons. I mean, I watch lots of Netflix, but I still can't get away, and I'd love to know what listeners think, a vaguely lonely feeling or something when you watch something on a player. Like, I wouldn't... No, I'm serious. Bear with me for a second.
I don't know. It's just like
it's
you were going to finish that off
day.
With... You really only should watch porn when you're by yourself in your computer.
Hey, well, where are you? Now you've thrown me with that one. No, but there's this... you don't have that communal feeling when you're watching it on the player. I would have rathered watch this on TV tonight. And I may even watch the first episode on TV tonight. I mean, I've a bit of a cold. But I was watching it in a room yesterday at home with a bit of a cold. Feeling... I don't know, I should be watching this on a TV knowing my other pals are possibly watching it and you can live tweet with your other pals
right,
and stuff
okay,
like
yeah.
that. Maybe, maybe. It's not a very well-developed point. But listen, I should probably tell you what I think of it.
Yeah.
Because it's with a certain amount of trepidation, I think it's fair to say, that a new RTE comedy, you know, there've been lots of hits, there have been some misses as well. But this is actually very good. This is a mockumentary, probably a lot in the style of The Office. And it's about a school, I think probably in Cork. And there's a new principal. The school is in a state of kind of educational disrepair, I would say. And a new principal comes in. He's kind of got a rod up his back and he's very serious about it. And it's peopled by a couple of teachers we probably all knew who aren't that interested in actually teaching students. And it's very, very funny. I laughed a lot. Particularly, there's a school secretary, Breach. By the way, it's by this comedy troupe from Cork called... I'm not sure if you're meant to say CC Cahoots. It's three C's of Hoots. Cahoots.
Okay.
You know, but they'll know who they are, right?
Yeah, Cahoots.
Yeah, yeah. Or,
maybe.
Or CC
yeah.
Cahoots or something like that. And... it's the three of them. They had done some stuff online with Storyland and stuff, and Eddie Doyle commissioned them to do this. And the school secretary is played by one of them, a lady called Laura O'Mahony, and she's pregnant, and she constantly tells people she's pregnant by donation, and this is all she'll talk about. She's a very funny character, and she falls in love, has a massive crush on this new principal. The guy you heard there is Tom Hegarty. He's the nemesis of this school principal, kind of a benign David Brent guy who just has these bizarre asides. Then there's other teachers. There's one who's right on and does meditation with the students and has them staring at raisins on the desk while they're throwing paper and other objects at her and stuff. So it's very Irish and it's very funny. And what's also lovely about it, and maybe this was intentional, but it kind of has a family feel about it, because the kids are interviewed like a mockumentary, like a documentary, and they're actually from Walterstown National School in Cove, and they're brilliant. It's not too dissimilar to Henry McKean's Kids Talk, which you and I were both intimately acquainted with. So there's, as well as being funny, there's a lovely warm, it's kind of a family comedy. So the three episodes, I watched all three of them in about an hour, lonely as I was, and it's really good, and I'm delighted to say that, because I really didn't want to come in here poo-pooing three guys and girls trying to make a decent show, and they did make a decent show.
And when you say use the word, could an entire family watch it?
Well, you see, I don't know. It depends what age they are. Possibly not, even though they kind of say it's a family drama. It's sweet in places, but there's one or two jokes. I mentioned the pregnancy. School secretary who got pregnant by donation. She gets a bit more explicit about that. There's a very funny scene where she's trying to control students, so she shows them a birthing video, which is quite funny. So
that would do the trick, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it certainly would. So family without any toddlers in the room, I would say.
Yeah. Does it need to be a mockumentary?
What do you mean? Oh, it could have just been a straight ahead sketch show.
Yeah, in, well, or you know, could they have gone about telling the story in a different way? And I suppose what I'm implying to you is, mockumentary is a bit old hat now at this stage of the game.
Yeah, no, I know, and it's everywhere. And whenever I watch a mockumentary, you always think The Office, and I think every mockumentary ever since is probably indebted to it. Like that the character Tom Hegarty, as I say, there's a David Brent isn't to him, but no, I mean. That's being slightly critical, I suppose, overly critical. It works on a humour level, which is what a comedy should be about. So whether it's a mockumentary or not, it really does work. So.
Right, okay. Yeah. And in terms of, like, you know, because often the best comedies work because there's a fairly strong story arc in there as well. Is that in there too?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, to an extent. They're getting ready for a nativity play. Tom is taken off the nativity play, then he's brought back on it. There's school visits from the Board of Education. There's the school secretary crush on the principal. I mean, it's not Tolstoy or anything, but it doesn't need to be. I don't mean that as a criticism. It doesn't need to be, because, you know, what I'm looking for in a thing like this is jokes, and there was a lot of jokes, laughing out loud.
Is there going to be a school two then? Would you be surprised if there were a school two?
No, I wouldn't be. I definitely think there will be. And it's only three episodes. And I was reading somewhere, now I think this has to be confirmed, but there's interest from overseas. Now, I thought it was very Irish in a good way, but, you know, the rubber bandits can travel, so can Father Ted. So let's hope, because they deserve it. And as I say, it's great to see another Irish comedy troupe doing well and getting something.
Okay, well, good for them.
Exactly. Good for them.
Right, a few bits of TV news. Noel Fielding is going to play Alice Cooper.
Yeah, now it's not going to be a massive biopic or anything like that. It's part of Sky's interesting series, Urban Myths, where they recreate supposed rumoured celebrity encounters. And you may remember it hit the headlines earlier in the year when Joseph Fiennes, you saw images of him as Michael Jackson. Do you remember that? And he was taking a car ride with Marlon Brando and Elizabeth Taylor. They actually axed it because Paris Jackson wanted to vomit when she saw the pictures of them. So it's been a controversial show. In this one, it's when Alice Cooper met, and apparently this really happened, Salvador Dali. And Noel Fielding is going to play him. Yeah. Who knew? And like, they got him to wear a tiara. Like, it's rumoured that this happened. They got him to wear a $2 million tiara, and Salvador Dali was going to paint him and stuff like that. I mean, Noel Fielding, you know, he would make a good Alice Cooper, I would suggest.
He would, yeah. You know? I mean, you can see the logic of that choice. But I would Salvador Dali have even heard of Alice Cooper?
Well, I guess Dali was pretty, you know, in touch with pop culture of the time. Please don't ask me about surrealist painting. We're in trouble, Sean. Come back to Alice Cooper, please. I beg of you. No, I think he was pretty up on his pop culture. So it's more likely that he would have heard of Alice Cooper than, say, Picasso would have heard him.
Yeah, but it doesn't really matter anyway. No one's claiming this actually happened.
No, exactly.
Maybe it happened, maybe
the clue's in the title, Urban Myth. So yeah. I wouldn't get too worried. But Noel Fielding's probably a good choice. Can I just tell you that there's also going to be another one in that I really like the look of. When Public Enemy gets stranded in Broomhill in Sheffield when the tour bus breaks down and they had to rely on a local bloke and his Ford Focus to get them to the show on time. That sounds hilarious to me now. Chuck D with some geezer from the West End.
As they say, 911 is a joke in your town.
Oh, you're on fire.
Right. The now I suppose, and this is,
we better stop laughing.
This is basing a show on something real. Now, yeah. Law and Order is supposedly based on real cases, anyway.
Yes, a lot.
And
of
now,
them.
Is it actually Harvey Weinstein they're going to?
No.
Or something similar.
That's what the headline said. So they've of late, and it's SVU. I was talking earlier, and I said Law and Order SUV, but it's SVU, Special Victims Unit.
Yeah,
that's an important distinction. They borrow headlines and they make cases around them. This is going to be a Weinstein-like figure, but it's going to be set in the pilot business, as in aviation.
Right.
And it's by analogy, there's a Weinstein character in a pilots association in America, and they're making the comparison because, you know, what's coming out now, and the Weinstein effect is that there are lots of boys clubs, for want of a better phrase, and this appears to be the point that they're making, you know. Now, will it make it to air? Who knows? They tried to do one last year about, let's call him a thinly disguised American president, or who was in the offing to become the American president, and it was pulled. So they spend a lot of time in courtrooms in real life, this TV show, when they do this, because a lot of people, America's quite a litigious place, as we know, so it may not happen.
Yeah. Someone sexy to say Fielding could also play Dali. In fact, I think more.
And that's
be closer to Dali than Alice Cooper. Right, we do have to take a break after that fascinating documentary, Jim and Andy.
Initially, when I heard I had the part, I was sitting in Malibu looking at the ocean and thinking, where would Andy be? What would he be doing? He would be doing something like trying to communicate telepathically. Immediately, like 30 dolphins came to the surface. So I thought, well, maybe I'm on the right track. So I decided from then, for the next few days, to speak telepathically to people. It was absurd. It was completely absurd, but somehow it worked. That's the moment when Andy Kaufman showed up, tapped me on the shoulder, and said, sit down. I'll be doing my movie.
That's Jim Carrey there speaking in that documentary, Jim and Andy, The Great Beyond, that is streaming currently on Netflix. I suppose we were just saying this, you better start by explaining who Andy Kaufman was.
Yeah, Andy Kaufman was this, you know, comedian is probably a loose approximation. He was maybe a performance comedian. Sometimes he wasn't very funny. He did really weird stuff. He pretended to be this kind of foreign piano player. A lot of people would know him from Taxi. He played the character Latka, where I think he was from Albania. He was meant to be somewhere like that. One of his sketches was he'd mime the theme tune to Mighty Mouse. Later in his career, he got into fake feuds with wrestlers. He became a wrestler.
Yeah, I don't know how fake some of those were.
No, I know. But the thing is, the main protagonist, a wrestler called Lawler, was in on it all along. But he would go on talk shows and pretend he was having rows with this wrestler. It was kind of performance comedy. He was a very, very strange guy who died quite young. Funny at times, but as I say, performance comedy. So then, Jim Carrey was cast in a movie in 1999 all about him called Man on the Moon, after the Orient song as well.
Yeah.
Now, that's all good. That was a good movie directed by Milos Forman, who did lots of great movies like One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, blah, blah, blah. So, why are we talking about this again? Well, while Kerry was making that movie, he got Andy Kaufman's girlfriend to film him preparing for that movie. And as you heard there, Kerry decided that he was going to basically go full method acting. So he was going to become Andy Kaufman. And what's fascinating about this documentary is they have the footage. So he's on set for this movie and he's surrounded by Paul Giamatti and some of the other actors in it. And they're watching Jim Carrey refusing to be anyone other than Andy Kaufman. And Andy Kaufman's characters, that he also plays that Tony Clifton guy who was this lounge singer that Andy Kaufman would also... I know it's getting kind of confusing.
Yeah.
But what you see in this movie is Jim Carrey being Andy Kaufman all the time on the set of the movie, refusing to be anyone else, refusing to be Jim Carrey. And people come up and start talking to him, saying, Jim, and he won't engage with them. He says, my name's Andy. And by the end of the footage, everyone's playing along and it's like Andy Kaufman is back in the room or back on the set. In tandem with this, you have Jim Carrey to camera talking about the experience and talking about his career, at times quite movingly, and quite poignantly. And it's an amazing documentary. It really is.
Now, obviously, because it's called that, yeah. Are there parallels between Andy Kaufman and Jim Carrey?
This is like beyond whatever the next thing after postmodern is, this is what it is. Because mm-hmm. you have Jim Carrey pretending to be Andy Kaufman, who spent his life pretending to be other people. And then he's in a documentary about it, talking as Jim Carrey. Like, it turns it on heads. Now, that sounds like some arty-farty nonsense, but you won't be able to turn this off, because you slowly realise that Jim Carrey has a lot going on. Not all of it benign. In it, he talks about himself having a hide, and he says, but it's a good hide. I'm not so sure about that. He's an asshole in this, when he's being, if I can say that. And the thing is, right, I use the a-hole word there, but the whole point of him being filmed while he was making the movie was that they were going to use this as part of the promotion. But then the film company came and said, we're not allowing this to be used because it's going to make him look like an asshole, and we don't want that. So Kerry kept it for 20 years and finally allowed it to come out. And he doesn't come out great in it, I must say.
Yeah, well, that's an interesting choice. And presumably he's aware he doesn't come out great in it. Or is he?
I'm not so sure, because his take on it all is that at times he's been troubled and stuff, but he didn't feel really that he was being very annoying to people when he was being Andy Kaufman the whole time. And he was. Like, the director, you felt really sorry for him, because he was like, you know, I'm trying to make a movie here and my actor won't speak to me, you know? Paul Giamatti was just like ready to walk off the set. The wrestler guy, Lawler, who I mentioned, played himself in Man on the Moon, right? So then, off set, Jim Carrey playing Andy Kaufman won't talk to Lawler as anyone other than Andy Kaufman. And Lawler actually attacks him and goes to beat him up in real life, if you follow me.
Because you're not Andy Kaufman. Yeah.
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 So he doesn't come out great in it. But at moments, as he's talking about the experiment, this method acted experiment, he does get quite emotional about things. He also has some really telling insights about Hollywood. Like, at one point he says, during the filming of this, or maybe just before it, his other movie, Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind, he met the director of that. And the director said to him, you know, Jim, you're in a lot of pain. This is going to be great for the movie. Could you stay like that for the next year? And Carrey's like, this is how messed up Hollywood is. They want me to be depressed for a year to fit a timing schedule for a Hollywood release. So Carrey, back then and even now, is clearly so tired of the whole process. But at the same time, he's made millions from that process. So it's a brilliant documentary, but you kind of feel a bit like, here's a Hollywood great having his cake and eating it, you know?
Watched a Jim Carrey documentary last night. Absolutely outstanding. This Jim Carrey, Andy Kaufman inception is hurting my brain.
Yeah, no, it's a bit like that. It's easier in the movie. I'm not as articulate as the movie is.
That Jim and Andy doc was just annoying and unnecessary. I dig most Carrey movies, love the Kaufman flick, but not this, says Paul. I watched that doc your reviewer was talking about. I found it quite disturbing that Jim Carrey didn't switch it off when he met Andy's actual family.
Yeah.
I found it very disrespectful.
Yeah.
Whoa, that's your apex of assholery.
Yeah, the only thing was his dad was hugging him by the end of it, and they almost felt like Andy was back in the room. Yeah, that's one way of looking at it. And I agree with the texture, I think. This was kind of a method acting experiment taken to the extreme, but it makes for great viewing. Whatever about the morality and Jim Carrey's morality, it is great television watching. It really is. And just the footage. Like, they go to the play, I don't want to spoil it, but they go to the Playboy Mansion one night. And everyone thinks Carrey's there because he's dressed as this character that Andy Kaufman played called Tony Clifton. And what's the guy, dear departed? Hugh Hefner. Mm. Not so dear, but departed, yeah, Hugh Hefner is all over him. And then Jim Carrey arrives in the Playboy Mansion and they throw them all out because they realise it wasn't Jim Carrey. So it's really spectacular TV. It really is.
Wow, how very, very strange. Yeah. Right, okay, well, that's there. We'll move on from that postmodern hypertextuality to something similar. It's Mary Berry's Country House. Ooh.
Our stately homes hold many remarkable secrets.
This is Napoleon's chair, actually.
I could do with a cush now, reveal what it's really like to live and work.
Think you're better at baking.
In these extraordinary places, full of culinary inspiration.
Very special.
That's delicious.
This is your invitation to dine at some of the grandest houses in the land.
There you go. That's Mary Berry's Country. Is it Mary Berry's Country House Secrets?
Yeah.
Are there any actual secrets revealed in the course of this programme?
Not that I could see. After the hypertextuality of Jim Carrey, no. This is really odd. I mean, Mary Berry, most people love her. She's 82, if I'm not mistaken. She's sprightly. It's great that she stayed with the BBC, and I always thought it was very noble that she said, I'm not going with the Bake Off. The BBC have given me my life. Why would I? Very noble.
Huge wads of cash would be one reason, though.
Well, that's true. That's true. I'm more with the nobility of the 82-year-old lovely woman. But anyway, but this is kind of a waste of time. I didn't get this at all. This isn't really a cookery show, which I kind of enjoy. This is Mary Berry over four episodes going to visit stately homes in the UK. Now, they're very stately, judging on last night's episode, and occasionally cooking in them. But she's kind of like a glorified tour guide, like she's working for the Heritage Trust. It's all incredibly British, incredibly posh. Last night's episode, she was in Highclere House, which is where they filmed Downton Abbey. Now, I enjoyed Downton Abbey. I watched it all. But this was just like her meeting the now Count or Countess, the Count and the Countess Carnarvon, I think their name is, who have been in Highclere Castle since the 1600s. Kind of like they go out with the hunting party and they see the dogs and then they show them parts of the house where strange things happen and George the King Sixth or whatever he was had dinner here, and then they show them video of a grand uncle who was out in Egypt and stuff. And it's really like kind of like a promotional video for like British tourism, not terribly entertaining. And then occasionally she says, oh well, we must cook something for the people who are coming to this house. It just didn't really, it was just kind of pointless, I thought. And you know, I'm aware of maybe I'm not the target audience, so I watch with my wife, who would enjoy Mary Berry, would enjoy a stately home, would enjoy my company. So this was all going to be good on the couch. Mm. And she actually turned to me and said, what's the point of this about halfway through it? So I'm baffled. Yeah. I'd love to know if anyone saw it.
Does she cook anything at all at any point, or bake anything?
A really small man. So she meets the Countess and they decide to have lunch together. So she makes a little tart. But it's for no reason. They're just for her and her pal, the Countess. And then later on, she meets all the people who work in the hunting department of the house, as in the people who have the dogs who go out and kill deer and stuff like that. Now, you didn't see any of that stuff, but they were the gameskeepers, and there's six of them, and she makes them kind of a gaming stew with some lovely expensive lamb, I think it was. But that lasted a minute, and then she's sitting there chatting to these, you know, nice elderly people who all work as gameskeepers. But again, what's the point? Like, you know, if from the bake-off, this is just a world away. There's no tension. As I say, just a kind of promotional video for stately homes. And I guess maybe they're going for, like, you could say the same about, like, you know, there's a show on RT I love called Tracks and Trails.
Yeah.
Where a celebrity takes a hill walk. And that's delightful because there's a point to it. There's a beginning, middle and end. And it's kind of like a tourist video, but it's a great tourist video. But this was just kind of pointless. And you know what, there's a certain, you know, not that I'm an anti-monarchist or anything like that, but you're going to this stately home with people who never really worked or anything, and you're kind of marvelling at their architecture. And oh, I don't know, they're not going to be showing it at the Sinn Féin party conference.
No, they're not. It sounds to me like they're just giving her something to do. Yeah, they're rewarding her for her loyalty, and I will stick her on there with something.
It really felt like that. And that maybe she wanted to go and see some of these homes. And but it's just so random. It's like they could have done so many other things with her. But maybe she has this status as the great dame of, like, she's like Judi Dench now or someone in the English psyche. People just adore her. So, you know, I had a look at some reviews today and I noticed that The Guardian thought it was pretty poor and The Telegraph kind of thought it was a delight. So, you know.
Well, one could have predicted that.
I guess.
Angie says, loved Country House. On a par with Antique Roadshow and Country File, it just washes over you. Comfort TV at its best, says. And yes, when's that on, and what channel is that on, and what time?
That was on last night, which was, well,
last night was Wednesday
difficult
night.
Question. Last night was Wednesday night, 8 p.m. and there's three more of them, and it's on BBC One, if I'm not mistaken.
Right, okay, BBC One. And a few people texting about the Jim Carrey documentary. That's streaming on Netflix.
Yes.
So you can watch that anytime you like.
Now, as is The School.
Yeah, a final comment actually on the Jim Carrey documentary, or the Jim and Andy documentary. disagree with your speaker on Jim Carrey. He does come across as deranged at times, but he comes across as a remarkable person overall. Incredible method acting and dedication. Reducing him to an asshole is quite unfair. He sacrifices himself for the greater good, it seemed. A great watch either way.
No, I don't think he sacrificed himself for the greater good. It was a method acting trope that he was trying. And the only person I would say who really gained, if he gained at all, was him. I don't think he was doing it for anyone else, to be honest.
Yeah, and in fairness, I don't think you said you reduced him to an asshole. No, you said he was an asshole at times.
At times, absolutely.
As indeed we all are.
Very much so.
John, thanks a million for coming into us. John Fardy there. Just before we go, a special message for Eva. We got a text in just saying, Eva, I'll collect you. We don't know. There's no Eva here, so we don't know what's going on there. If you're going to collect Eva, you better know. Let her know you're going to collect her, because you've just told a radio station and you can't fit all of us in your car, obviously. Back in a couple of minutes with the man who designs menus.
Moncrief on News Talk
with Gas Networks Ireland. Natural gas is compatible with a wide range of modern appliances. gasnetworks.ie/movetogas